You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Oh, it doesn't just sound like some bad movie. It's a Wings Hauser movie.
And so not only just Wings Hauser starring in, directed by Wings Hauser.
Yeah. You know, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, he's doing all the stuff that he didn't get to do when other people were directing him, you know? He, like, gave himself a sex scene.
Yeah.
Pretty involved one.
So, the Wings Hauser film we're talking about is The Art of Dying. I'm Scott, that's Joey, and we're reviewing this thing.
Yeah, we are.
This came up on the wheel after we finished watching Avenging Angel from the 80s. And it is a similar plot line, or at least there's prostitutes involved and there's a killer involved. It's just so, yeah, very similar to the Angel film.
Very similar. It was actually
not as tame as Avenging Angel. This was a bit more,
had a bit more like Faces of Death kind of esque to it. Obviously, Wings Hauser is a real big fan of the noir genre. You know,
it's interesting you say that, because the one thing that struck me about this film is how the sideline plot about the serial killer reminded me of the new Faces of Death. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Oh, because there's the plot of that film is very similar to this one in that regard.
Oh, is it really?
As far as a serial killer trying to emulate previous films, except, gotcha, it, you know, just a bit different. But that caught me off guard. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I know, what better way to celebrate this country's 250th anniversary than to watch horror movies all weekend. I know we're going to be watching Obsession probably this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That just hit. I took Danny to go see Backroom, so I already saw that in the theater.
Oh, I may go to see it in the theater next week. I'm off next week. I might go to the Texas theater to see it.
It's just so really well done. You know, it really is so really well done. And
you honestly, think it's worth going in the theater?
Well, this is not a movie you're going to get in like an IMAX experience. I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it at home and seeing it in a theater. Okay, let me put it this way. When you're going to go.
Yes or no would have been fun.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I'm going to give you a real answer. Seeing it in a packed movie theater might be the right way to see it. But also, Danny and I saw it, and it was just like five people in the theater, might also be the right way to see it, too. You know what I mean? I can't gauge if seeing it with a bunch of people is better than seeing it with no one.
I withdraw the question.
Oh, okay. You bitch.
No, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that too.
I don't know if seeing it in a theater is really worth it. I think seeing it in the comfort of your own home will be fine.
Yeah, I might see if Wesley wants to go.
Oh, he hasn't left yet?
No, August.
Oh, okay. So I'm not kicking him out. I'm just.
I thought he
left already. Sorry.
Anyway.
Remember when we had the Movie Sucktastic drinking game? Anyway, how many times do you take a drink every time one of us says anyway?
So, Art of Dying.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get back on track.
Let's get back on track.
So yeah, this is a 1991 film directed by Wingshauser. Did he get writing credit too? He's got to have writing credit. I forgot to look.
Oh, I didn't even look. You know, it's interesting. The only thing that this didn't have was him doing voiceover narration.
And it could have used it.
Yeah, I think it would have actually worked.
Okay, no, he does not. Ironically enough, he does not have a writing credit, but I'm sure he had some input on this. There's no way he didn't.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so this is a gritty, sleazy LA 90s film. Again, feels more like an 80s film. It's 91 early. We're not going to get into that again.
Yeah.
But in it, Wingshauser is the cop that doesn't play by the rules.
Nope. Certainly, he does not.
And he's very protective of underage girls being drawn into the sex trade. And his path happens to cross over that of a serial killer who, with the help of his assistant, Latin Jerry.
Oh,
I for some reason, my mind will not grab that name. I kept forgetting it after they would say it in the film because my brain wants it to be something else because he's not Latin.
I mean, listen, we've had back-to-back weeks of Glitter Johnny and Latin Jerry.
Yeah.
And both movies take place on Hollywood Boulevard.
I thought it was the same guy for a minute.
It's no.
No, but I mean, that's how bad it is. Yeah. So, the serial killer's suckering young runaways with hopes of becoming actors and then killing them during their auditions.
Yeah, and he's not grabbing just men. He's grabbing or women. He's grabbing men too. So it's not like it's a sexual perverted thing. He's filming them, watching them die. So
I would say it's perverted, but yeah, he's not actually, you know, doing anything with the corpses or anything like that.
Right. You know, I initially,
he's in it for the art. He's in it for the art.
I initially thought, and I looked it up and I was like, is this the guy from Hellbound? And then, no, it wasn't him. And then as the movie goes on and he's doing a scene where he's going, yes, yes, yes. And I'm like, is this the voice of Duke Nukem? And it wasn't
him. Yeah, I mean, their paths cross because, again, young women that he's trying to save from the sex trade are winding up dead on the streets. And what's his face? Always forget his name.
Oh, what's his face?
Freaky little midget guy
from Scrooged.
Yeah, freaky little midget guy.
Yeah, I actually didn't bring up the IMDb. I usually do. I didn't bring it up tonight.
Michael Pollard?
No, that's not right.
That's not right?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. I'm not coming up with any pictures.
I'll get him.
Ooh, damn,
I'm unprepared. The Art of Fighting. Come on, fat fingered that.
Oh. But yeah, they kind of figure out.
Oh, it is Michael Pollard. It is Michael Pollard. Oh, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking of Sidney Lassick, who is he also 80s movies. And
also
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. What? And who?
And also a creepy dwarf guy, so I can see the confusion. Yeah. I give you that. And his is a weird scene too. Estee's the diner owner,
right,
who talks to the one. Now here's the problem I have with another problem I have with Latin Jerry, right?
Oh yeah. Latin Jerry. I know what you're going to say.
Is that the first time we see him, his hair slicked back, and then the next time we see him at the crazy diner, his hair's all crazy. I didn't know it was the same guy at first.
And not only that, but when he abducted her in that diner, not gay.
No,
he was not effeminate at all, like he was earlier.
Well, he chooses to. I mean, so you have your exterior. Okay,
that's the only time he's not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I agree. But it also, that's why it threw me off. I was like, who's this guy?
Well, that's why it threw me off, too. I'm like, wait a minute, is that the same fucking guy? Because, you know, earlier in the film, he, like, addresses the camera, and he's like, hello. You know, it's like he's doing that, and it's just like, okay. And then when he goes and abducts her, it's like, I don't know if he did, like, a whole bunch of lines of coke, and it just totally just changed his demeanor. You know, I don't know. I feel like there was something on the cutting room floor for when that happened, when he abducted her, because
I'm sure there's plenty on the cutting room floor from this.
Well, that's true. I mean, the movie did come in at what, an hour and 42 minutes or something like that, hour 37.
Yeah, wasn't that long. Hour and a half, it didn't change. Yeah,
yeah. It's like before Wings got his hands on in the editing room, it was probably a 2-hour movie. I will say this: Latin Jerry's death. Pretty good.
His death disappointed me.
Well, no, what I was
not
what I'm getting at is the way it was directed and the way it was shot. I thought was pretty good.
It was okay for a low budget film. It was done right. Narrative wise, I was upset about it. I thought I wanted that character to stick around longer, and I thought it was a cheap way of getting him out of the way without having, you know.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be an interrogation scene or something.
Especially after it's over 2 minutes, that fight, that chase sequence running on foot.
I know.
I was timing it. It's like, I swear it was 2 minutes.
It was before a long
he gets
time
hit by the car. It was a long time. It was a long time to invest for that ending to the chase.
It was so long that when I'm watching it and they have an overhead shot from, it looked like from a building, like a high rise building. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, they're running in the street and cars are almost hitting them. It doesn't look like they got traffic to comply with filming. It looks like to me that Latin Jerry and Wings Hauser are running into the street hoping to actually not get hit by cars.
Guerrilla filmmaking.
That's still
around in the 90s.
That's what it looked like to me. Because they quickly panned away from that shot to the next shot after they ran into the street. And like, because they ran into the street with their hands in the air. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It wasn't like in a normal movie, when you're running into the street, when you're doing those shots, you have cars that are part of your film crew where it's going to stop. This was like, please don't hit me.
Yeah.
Like, please, you know, like, I don't want to die.
Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. This is probably the tail end of the era of guerrilla filmmaking more so in New York City. We're talking LA here.
But even it's like, we can't pull the permits. It's too fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't shut this down, because if we do, it's going to have to be at like 4 a.m. And we're not doing that. So I have a feeling that they parked someone up in a fucking high rise, and Wings Hauser and Latin Jerry ran into the street hoping they don't get hit by a fucking car.
Pretty much.
That's what I think happened.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Also, I noticed that during the opening shot from the building where the title card shows.
Oh, yeah.
And then it starts going down slowly. It's like, oh, Wings got a crane.
And he's
already using it.
He only had it for that day. Remember when we used to watch stuff like that, and you and I would just point at the screen, expensive crane shot, expensive crane shot. Only crane shot in the movie. Now, somebody got a crane.
So the reason we thought that he might have a writing credit is that there's a lot of sex scenes involved in this film.
He probably knew the writer. It's like, hey, throw a little insight for me.
The top three things that I saw referenced in reviews when I was going through reviews of the film, top three things, two of them are sex related.
Right.
Right. And you know which two things those are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wait. What two things were sex related?
Which two things come up the most in reviews that are sex related? Well, what two
porn,
scenes?
Porn. Wait, I don't
know. No, in the movie. In the movie. In Art of Dying. In the film, The Art of Dying. We're talking about Art of Dying.
I don't know if I'm following you.
In Art of Dying.
Yeah.
There are three scenes that are talked about the most in reviews that I read.
Oh, you're talking about the bathtub scene when he goes down on her. You're talking about probably the shower.
Well, hold on. He doesn't just go down on her. He goes down on her as the intercut scenes of a girl being killed.
Right, during the shower, the psycho reenactment scene. Yeah.
Yes. I think that's a very important part of that. You can't leave that out. Otherwise, it just sounds mundane.
Right. Sounds like you're so it's like you don't get to enjoy the sex scene.
It's not just him going down on her in a bathtub. It's him doing so intercut with a girl being stabbed to death in the shower.
Yes.
Because metaphor, I guess.
I guess.
All right. Then the other one is... kitchen scene.
Oh, yeah. The whole 9.5 weeks type thing where he's like,
yeah, with the yeah. Food. Wings saw 9.5 weeks and thought he could do better.
Yeah.
He couldn't.
Yeah, no. No, you ain't Mickey Rourke and she ain't Kim Basinger.
and it doesn't go far enough to work as like a parody or a satire of it. It's just,
right.
Just, ew, what are you doing with the milk?
And then he uses like the sprayer from the sink and, like what are you doing? Come on.
You know he made her clean that. You know he made her clean that up when they were done.
Oh, you think so?
He's getting water all over the place. No, probably not. You're right. I take that back.
I got Latin Jerry good. What?
Stop shooting me.
Oh, I did love that. Please stop shooting me. And when he's like, I get it. Okay, I understand.
I get it. So those are the top two of the top three things mentioned. The third thing that always came up is everybody always references it's almost like it's the perfect meme for that era.
Right.
Is Wings Hauser on the beach feeding tequila to a rabbit?
I saw.
Every review is like you gotta hand it to the rabbit. Give the wings and rabbit scene. It touches deep, man. Everybody touches on that. Most people just say, I'm not gonna talk about the kitchen scene. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. And he leaves the rabbit on the beach. Is this a wild rabbit? Is this his pet rabbit? Like what
I think that
where the fucking rabbit come from?
I think that was in between actual takes. They just left the camera running.
He's just actually getting fucked up on the beach.
I think Wings, they just caught Wings in his natural habitat.
I've been drinking all day, but I ain't drunk. All right, Wings. Got it.
Oh, you know, this is another film that starts off. I forget what the other film was that we reviewed recently where my problem was like the first or second line out of their mouth was like a nasty slur. I forget which one it was.
Oh, I don't know.
But this one comes to the first thing we get is Wings Hauser talking to his short black sidekick, and she's like, "You know what you need? You need some trim." I was like, "What the fuck? This is how you start. This is how you introduce yourself."
And
to
then
me
she's
as
like,
a film.
"You know, when I spread my legs," he's like, "Does your mother know you talk like that?" And I don't know if she was like part of the catering crew and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna put you in my movie. I like you, you're sassy, because you don't see her again
after she gets stabbed in the back. No.
And
I got me a peanut butter pussy.
Oh my god. Fucking Shakes the Clown reference. I got one of them peanut butter pussies. Oh boy. So
with the punchline, watch the film.
Yeah, exactly. No, we got to do it now.
No. If you want the punchline, watch the film.
All right. Shakes the Clown. The film is Shakes the Clown. Go and watch it. Scott and I will do the punchline after the show.
Yep.
Because you know, I have to do it, but now you say I can't. God damn it.
No, we'll do it after the show.
Okay. No, so yeah, that whole opening, and they go to address like a noise complaint slash. the spousal abuse call.
Would Joe Vinny bag of donuts?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're fighting. The next shot is she's got a knife over. You want to stab me? Right. And then they answer it. And then she's like, I would like to press charges. And he's like, fuck you. And then he starts fighting with Wings Hauser. Right.
Yeah.
And then the lady goes to help Wings Hauser. And then the lady that wants to press charges stabs his partner in the back.
Yep. And then he throws her out a window. And it's you already know this film's going to be a disappointment because they have the shot of her going out the window, but no shot of her hitting the ground or even a shot afterwards of her like laying on a car or anything. Yeah. Nothing.
No budget.
It's like, this is not going to end well now. Because we know the budget is really restrained. this is like a signature shot you're doing here, and they couldn't even get her on the sidewalk. Ooh. Especially, they even have them looking out the window like they were going to insert something. And they're like, yeah, we can't afford it. Move on.
Well, no, they had him look out the window because he's like, you know, we'll add it later. And then, they had no money to add it later.
Yeah.
It's like, this ain't Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's so funny. So in Lethal Weapon, actually, that famous shot from the opening where she jumps off the ledge.
Uh-huh.
Onto the car. Do you know how they did that shot? It was actually very, very smart. Why are you looking at me like that?
I was we're getting off track. We're trying to review Art of Dying. I know,
but it reminded me of see, here's the thing. This is what we do on this show. You said something that reminded me of a good movie with a real budget and smart filmmaking. So right. I wanted to bring that to the show. So whenever you do any jumps off buildings and things like that, they always have those gigantic airbags, you know, they have those gigantic airbags where they jump on them and they cut it so that you don't see the airbag, you know, and they did that with Lethal Weapon, except they painted the street line on top of that airbag. So when she was falling, she was actually falling, but they don't show you the impact of the airbag because the next shot is the impact of the car. It's very smart.
Okay.
Let's move on. You're a bitch.
I didn't say anything. I said okay. You know what this film missed? What they needed the most?
What is that?
It's its own 80s rock ballad end song. It's the Art of Dying. This film begs for it. Sung by Wings Hauser, of course. Has to be sung by Wings Hauser.
Even with Wings Hauser singing it, can't afford the studio time. Can't afford someone to compose it and edit it and mix it. Just can't afford it. So we went with the fucking noir soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I got to be honest, I didn't hate it.
No, it wasn't as bad as like Avenging Angel. Like I said, that was almost comical at a lot of points. This at least fit the tone of the film. The film's very gritty. It achieves that.
Well, I mean, and it's also
the grittiness of Wings Hauser.
Yeah, and it also like New York. It's showing like the grimy, slimy, gritty version of L.A. So the noir music really kind of pushed that. So I didn't mind it. I actually kind of dug it.
See, maybe it's me, but knowing that Wings Hauser directed this film while I was watching it ruined it for me. I don't know if it ruined it. I can't imagine enjoying it because I didn't know. But like, there'd be moments where, like after the sex scene, where they're on he's laying on the bed and she comes up behind him, and like that moment where he's just like laying there in his shirt, in his t-shirt with his eyes closed, and you just know, like I can just like see the direction. Yeah, close in on me. Yeah, nice and slow. Yeah, that's all I can get in my head is like he's directing this. He's directing these sex scenes. He's telling himself, yeah, this is now grab the milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Or how about like when they're just sitting on the bed and he's smoking a cigarette, looking over his case, and she's got a negligee that he bought her, and you know she hits him in the face. He's like, listen, don't hold back. Really hit me in the face.
Good. I felt the.
What? Now we're hitting each other? And then he goes out, and that's when he kills Latin Jerry. He doesn't kill him. He trips. He falls. which was a weird fall. That's a, let me consult my stuntman on how to do this properly.
Whoa, what do you mean? No. Latin Jerry was hit by the car.
I'm talking about when Wings Hauser falls before he could catch Latin Jerry. Oh, when Jerry.
He was running. Yeah, he was running. Yeah, okay.
It was like, it's like you could tell that he had to consult with his stunt guy. Like, listen, you know, I don't want to hurt myself. How do I fall? And it was one of those where he leaned into the sidewalk, but in a certain way where he wouldn't like hurt himself. And I'm like, that's a weird fall. It just looked, it looked weird. Sorry.
So comparing this film to Avenging Angel, I don't think it's as forgiving of the sex trade as like the Angel films are, or at least as supportive of the subculture there.
Right.
Like we went from the wacky ragtag group of street people, and we went right to if you're on the street, you're either fucking dead or you're a whore. It's like, that's it. And they're going to come back every time. Michael Pollard, every time they're going to come back.
She's going to be back in 2 days.
2 days.
And you know what? That really wasn't Wings Hauser's fault.
No.
She wasn't going back. It's just that, what's his face? Latin Jerry went and got her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was trying to cash in her bus ticket to go to work at a strip club in the little town where the diner was, but that plan didn't even come to fruition.
And it's little things like that I appreciate in the film. This isn't horrible. It's not a good film, but it's not horrible. I mean, all the motivations are right. They're somebody's killing young kids on the street, and he wants to stop it. I'm cool with that. Then his girlfriend gets involved. Oh shit, you know. Yeah. The weakest part of the film for me is when the filmmaker, what was the filmmaker's name?
I have it.
Was that Roscoe?
It was Roscoe, played by Gary Wernz.
Where was I going with that?
You were talking about that it's not horrible. And that the director played by, and then we went and looked up his name. That's where you were going.
Damn it.
You started off saying that the movie isn't horrible.
Yeah, no, I know that part. That's a bit vague. A little bit. But
you sidetracked yourself.
No, the weakest part of the film for me is when Roscoe, the director, I think they should just call him the director in the credits and not give him a name. I think that would have been more impactful than Roscoe.
The weakest part is when he just shows up and gives himself away.
Yeah, when he just shows up the Wings Hauser's place, I'm going to taunt you now because I'm getting away with everything. So what the fuck? Because I'm pissed. I'm a little pissy that you killed my sidekick, you know?
Yeah. There's only 15 to 20 minutes left of the movie. I'm like, okay, we're rushing it along. I get it. We're rushing it along because we haven't had a better movie structure, plot structure until now.
They're rushing it along. They're rushing along, but every chase scene or tailing scene is strung out exceedingly too long.
Right.
And sex scene.
Yeah. There's a solid three minutes of sex scenes.
It's like stop and go traffic. We're rushing through the plot. Hit the brakes for this nonsense. Rushing through the plot. Hit the brakes for the fucking milk. Take it. Go. You know, it's a roller coaster. Not a fun one though. A broken one. A broken roller coaster. That's what this film is.
Yeah, I mean, Wings was trying to make himself like a sex symbol because the therapist.
Yeah.
The therapist is like coming on to him, which is what's her face from Superman 2.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize her.
Yeah. She's coming on to him saying dinner. She's like, McDonald's isn't dinner. He goes, all right, where do you want to go? And then she starts to hit on him. He goes, hey, I'm married.
Yeah. So yeah, it's.
And then when the girl shows up and she's waiting for him at his house, and she's pointing a gun at him, I'm like, okay, this is some weird sexual fantasy thing he does, role playing he does with his wife, because it's, you know, she's always gone, he's always gone. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. yeah, it's a role-playing thing, but this is just someone he kind of knows. It's not his wife. So, like, even that, like, they threw me off. It's like, he says he's married. It's like, he's not fucking married.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, it's a weak, it's a very weak plot. Yeah, the A to B doesn't make sense. Things just kind of happen or show up just to move the plot along.
Right.
Damn, I was just going to say something else. You mentioned something and it triggered and then it disappeared again.
You're talking about the sex scene.
No, I don't want to hover on the sex scene.
And I was talking about the therapist hitting on him.
What are the films that he was that's another thing that the screenplay I felt was weak on. When it starts off, he's emulating specific directors. He's doing The Deer Hunter.
Right.
He's Deer doing Hunter, Psycho.
Yep.
Then it all kind of falls apart and he's just like killing people.
When he did cuz when he was going to the Psycho thing, it was done in black and white, but it wasn't done in like the same black and white Psycho was done in. It was done in, this is the black and white we can afford. You know,
actually the way I took those shots, when we see the POV of the camera coming in on the bodies, what he's supposedly filming,
right.
If that's the actual film, then I think that's a clear message that this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing with the camera. It's all overexposed and shit because he's just an idiot that just got the shit because he loves films.
Yeah.
And I think that enhances the character a bit. For me, that works. I like that.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then later when he's showing Latin Jerry and they're kind of holding each other's hands and he's like, oh, it's a masterpiece. He's like, oh yeah, it's probably just this blurry piece of shit you can't even see. This is great.
Yeah, because later on when he's talking to the guy and, you know, he goes, listen, I'm a director, you know, the element of surprise. And then like he stabs his hand and then Latin Jerry chokes him to death. I'm like, I don't know what movie that's from.
Exactly.
It's not from a movie. It's just from this movie.
Then he just hangs a girl.
Yeah. It's like, where did that come from? I mean, like,
Now we're just killing randomly. I mean, you had a good hook, but you just couldn't follow. They couldn't think of two more films to emulate with deaths.
I mean, and then they did the Joan of Arc. They did the Joan of Arc thing, and it's like, okay, I get it. Joan of Arc, burned at the stake.
That actually happens.
Well, but as soon as that conversation, that back and forth, when he shows up at his house, and you know, he's like, "You look familiar to me. Have I seen you in something?" He's like, "No." He says, "Are you an actress?" "No." "Do you want to be?" "No." He's like, "No, unless you've seen like me in a high school play for Joan of Arc." And then he was like, oh, burned at the stake. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's not going to come up. That's definitely not going to come up. Got it.
Yeah. No, the writing is not stellar.
Yeah.
And then, like, the way he takes out the... I don't understand how... I mean, it's just a weird ending. When he chases the director up to the roof and the director just runs to the very top of the roof. I thought he was going to do a top of the world Ma thing and then Winks Hauser was going to blow him away.
Yeah.
How cool would that have been?
It would have been, but Winks Hauser is suspended. Yeah. And if he just kicks him off the roof, you know, he could say he jumped. I do get that. I do get that part. Now, here's the thing. Now, I tried to look this up, and this movie is not popular enough to have any information on this. But what was with the Rudolph Valentino star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Like he fell and hit that, and they very clearly not only they show Rudolph Valentino, but then when the body's gone, they show it again with the blood on it. Like the fuck does that signify something? I couldn't find anything.
I think it was just to signify that it's like Hollywood.
But
I don't think if
was the Valentino family the only ones that could get permission from or some shit.
I was thinking maybe it's public domain. I don't know if they would need permission to film some. I mean, it's a public thing. I don't know if they would actually need permission to film that. But I don't know it's.
It's a film rules. directed by Wings Hauser. I should not be looking for any deep, deep filmmaking here or some deep meaning. But
That's why for the first second there, you're talking about it. I'm like, I don't remember him being in this film.
Rudolph Valentino?
Yeah. I was like, why is he bringing Rudolph Valentino up?
You mean
pretty
the guy
sure he's not here.
That died in 1921?
Yeah.
Silent film movie star? And I'm like,
where is he going with this?
But the thing is, it's like, I don't fucking get it. It's like he was a silent film star. I think he did a couple of, no, it was all silent films, I think. He only died when he was 31. Like I went down a rabbit hole with this. I'm like, where is the connection? Where is it, Wings? Tell me. I need to know. And then I couldn't find Jack.
There's no connection. There's no conspiracy. It is just Wings Hauser, and it always has been and always will be.
I do enjoy Wings Hauser.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a couple of his films on the wheel.
I am positive that my father rented this from that video store I was telling you about in Newark.
Mm.
And this absolutely was played in my house on a VHS tape.
No, this was definitely the first time I've ever seen this. So this was new for me.
No, me too. But I'm positive that my parents have seen this movie and they rented it from that shitty video store.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
That's what I was getting at.
I gotcha.
And my father probably loved it. Probably loved it.
Hmm. Don't have too much else to add to this except, you know, Wings Hauser.
Wings, baby.
Wings. What would you rate it? I mean, I'm thinking 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I would go 5. What's it currently at? Is it like a 4.8 or 5.49? 5.1? I think it's hovering around a 5. Hold on.
Hang on, I gotta bring it up.
I have it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an exact 5. It's a 5 out of 10.
All right. Yeah, I will put it in as a 5.
Let's do that.
It's 4.0. What is it showing on IMDb?
5.0.
Okay. The Plex says IMDb is 4.8, but obviously it's delayed.
There are not many people that have upped that score since IMDb.
I don't know. They got the data from somewhere else, I guess.
I don't know. It only has 407 reviews. So I guess if it got 10 new reviews, that could swing that score up or down easily.
Yeah. Well, we're not helping it at all. We're just putting it more square onto the 5.
Well, it just means that if someone gave it a lesser score than 5, ours should hopefully keep it higher. I don't know.
We will stand here. We will stand our ground on Wings. The Wings Hauser territory.
We are with you, Wings.
Wings. Yes.
Should we go ahead and spin the wheel?
Let's do that.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, let's do that. Are we gonna do? Oops.
Best of three.
Hold on a second.
I'm digging best of three. It gives us something to talk about. It gives us a little bit of agency amongst the randomness, the chaos of the wheel.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Three spins. Unless we really love that first choice. Which I don't know how. all right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Sped up noir music. What do we got here? He's My Girl.
Oh.
What the fuck is that? I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's an 80s cross-dressing comedy. Some black comedian dresses in drag with some white guy as the straight guy. It's around the time of Mannequin, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, yeah, oh boy. 1987. This two musician friends enter an L.A. I can't do L.A. 3 weeks in a row. enter an LA contest when Brian wins, spelled B-R-Y-A-N. Reggie poses as a girl to join him. They find romance and must stop the promoter from stealing Brian's song for another artist. Who is this guy on the cover? It's like some blonde guy.
I guess it's like his friend. I guess, in the background,
they're
never seen it.
Yeah. T.K. Carter. David Hall. Okay.
I've never heard this film referenced anywhere. So it's not a common film.
No.
This is one of those probably direct-to-video or close to it that fell through the cracks. Is it direct-to-video? Did it have a theatrical release?
Let's see. Well, there's David Halliday. Yeah, he was in Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2, but as the greenhouse guard. So he has not had a healthy career.
Hey, it's a living.
It's a living. I don't know if he's made enough money to have a living. It said it came out September 11th, 1987 in New York City.
Okay, so at the very least, a limited release.
It had a premiere, yeah. So.
Right.
All right, do you want to veto it? Do you want me to veto it?
you go ahead and use yours. I'm okay with this. All I'm right. interested You're about okay the whole it. Cross-dressing thing. I think this is a film that's going to be interesting to compare culturally to now with the whole cross-dressing situation in the film. See, what I'm curious to see what the humor's like.
Okay. All right. Let's spin again.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's see what we got on this next right. Newman's Law.
Newman's Law. That is George Peppard. I don't know that one either. I believe it's George Peppard. Hannibal from the A-Team.
Is it really?
Yeah. And 1974. That's all I know. That's all I know. It's an action film, and that's him. He's in it.
Oh. It's got a 6.2 on IMDb. Seems like this is too good of a film. I don't know. All right, what do you think? Spin one more?
Yeah, spin one more. I want to see what the third one is.
All right, you've used your veto. Okay.
Yep.
This music sounds like somebody's recording somewhere. Lone Wolf McQuade.
Oh.
Whoa.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good film. A good bad film. It's not a good film. But I grew up with that film. It's a part of my childhood. Chuck Norris,
David Carradine, Lone Wolf McQuade. Mm-hmm. All right.
What do you think?
Well, it's a toss-up between hyper-masculinity and cross-dressing. So...
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're going in one direction or we're going in the other. I mean, for the show, it's probably to better to review He's My Girl. For my sanity, it's probably better to, you know, I could have a few beers, eat some chips and dip to Lone Wolf McQuade, preferably in my backyard at night.
Right. You want to do a wheel spin on it?
Between the two?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Let me set it up real quick.
Okay. So it comes down to this: Lone Wolf McQuade versus he's my girl. He's that girl. She's my girl. What is it again?
He's my girl.
He's my girl. I'm gonna make sure I got it right.
Oh.
Something a film I've seen and I'm familiar with, and one I have never seen and unfamiliar with. I think you're the same way.
Yes.
How are we looking?
Spelling McQuade wrong. How the hell fuck do you spell McQuade? M-C-Q-U-A-D, right?
Yeah. Oh, McQuad. U-A-I-D.
Q-U-I-D?
U-A-I-D. Quade.
Oh, no E. Oh, yeah.
Or UADE.
I put E. Either one. So, whatever. I don't
okay.
care.
Okay. There we go.
Who cares? Oops.
Welcome to the spelling game.
Yeah, right. I actually can spell.
you know what we didn't mention in that whole review?
What's that?
That Art of the Art of Dying was the name of the film that the serial killer was making.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. That's what I get for not taking notes this time.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll sleep tonight. Don't worry. All right, you ready? You good? Lone Wolf yep. McQuaid or He's My Girl? Here we go. Sounds like an air conditioner. What is this sound? Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Oh, thank Christ.
Thank Christ?
Yeah, I could use a break.
Thank Christ, he says. Oh, fucking shit, my Christ. I think I should put that in the sound thing that I have and just say it every once in a while.
I agree.
Oh,
I would put it in our opening thing, but we would get demonetized.
So you know what's funny? So I initially spelled it, if I'm not mistaken, MCQU ADE. I believe that's how I spelled it initially. And then you told me it was QUAID.
Yeah, I was making shit up. Yeah. I don't
know. Well, it's MCQUADE.
ADE, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Well, is it French? It's like McQuaddy.
I don't know. But Passamaquoddy?
Ooh. Did you just do a Peach Dragon reference? Jesus.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut. Nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about.
Nope. All right, so we should wrap it up then.
Yeah, we should do that. It's a longer episode, but you know what? A fun one. I liked it.
Well, it's because it means more Wings Hauser for everybody.
That's it. Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby.
Get to use the Wheel of Chuck logo. Wheel of Chuck logo again.
That's right. Oh, you love that.
Recycle.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This is episode 481 of Movie Sucktastic, where we just reviewed the film. We just reviewed the Wings Hauser
extravaganza
masterpiece. Wings Hauser was probably a masterpiece. Did he direct anything after this? I don't think so.
I don't. I'm not looking that up.
No, you don't want to.
No.
I can look it up. Why not? I only have to click back 7 times. It's okay. Good old Wings. There he is. He died not that long ago. Last year.
Yeah, I saw that. It was recent. I felt bad. It's like, oh, it's another one.
He directed a film in 1990 called Coal Fire, Living to Die, Art of Dying, TV show called High Tide, and Skins in 1994. Not a good director.
Yeah. Skins, I vaguely remember for some reason. I don't know why.
That all of those should be on our list if they're not already. It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think they are. No, yeah, I'll have to update that.
So anyway, episode 481. Thank you as always. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com and you can download the show to any device that you want. You can listen to the show right from the website, or you can click on the YouTube link and watch the episode that we just did with you right now. You can go to iTunes and you can listen to the show as well. Go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we're posting there. You can go to Scott's Letterboxd site for the show, which is letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic. If you want to email us, it's themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. Or if you want to call us, it's 908-514-4470. If you want to download our podcast player, it's moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or just download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every episode is there, 100% free. Enjoy. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
I got me a peanut butter pussy. Brown, smooth, and easy to spread.
Shakes the Clown. Go watch that one.
Yes, the must.
You're gonna fuck that little dog. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week next time when we review Lone Wolf McQuaid. God help us.
Oh, yeah. All right. Get ready for some Chuck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.